Causing the Effect, a podcast focused on the exploration of your mind, body, and spirit.
Causing the Effect community. I have a very exciting guest today. I don't know what we're going to talk about or where this is going, but Cass Thomas, how are you? What's going on?
Hello, dear. I am awesome, and I'm so delighted to be here with you. Brother from another mother.
That's I know. We've been connected on many levels here. Just so everybody knows, Cass is a business entrepreneur, motivational speaker, empowerment coach, basically the queen of communication. And we'll start it here. This is probably what the episode will be tailored on. How did this journey look and of communication? Was this something that naturally as a child you knew you wanted to be involved in this? And was this something that you were fearful of to begin? Because I have a double-edged sword with communication.
Wow. Well, a lot of times we have a double-edged sword with things. It's something that since my childhood, yeah, thank you for asking that, I've always been doing, you know what I mean? Communicating with people and getting people to communicate with themselves, to recognize their unique, you know, brand of magic, as I call it. So inviting them not to be sad, you know what I mean? Because you can be sad. That's one edge of the sword, but you couldn't be sad if the other edge weren't happy. So can we engage with that happy edge, you know, the sword? Yeah,
no, absolutely. And that's like the why I love life and love talking to people about this stuff, because like life is the meaning that you give it. So you could take the meaning of, oh, it's negative and pessimistic and I shouldn't take responsibility. Or you could say life has all the meaning and life has all the responsibility. I'm going to try to, like, that's what I've been trying to do, is really bear that burden of just setting an example for my family, for the kids, for our listeners, and being able to kind of do that. Now, we've been talking energies. We've been talking, you're very in tune with all this stuff. Was this natural for you? Cause I was 26 or 27 when I was going through my thing, and then all this stuff kind of exploded on me. Were you always a spiritual kind of gal? Were your parents into that world?
It's interesting to know if it's spiritual or not. But as a kid, I mean, I don't know how I got this book, Seth Speaks. So I would say yes. Mm. That's my fast answer. Yes. Mm. Seth Speaks, which was really about this channeling, right? And it was a very interesting big book about channeling. And then even with my sister, we would go downtown in Boston, and this woman would, you know, have us drink a cup of tea and then read our tea leaves. And I guess everybody doesn't do that, right? Have their tea leaves. Some people have their coffee leaf, you know, mm-hmm. things read. And even when I went to New York, I would go to the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival. You know, my ex, when we were together, he didn't go, but another couple, a friend of ours, the guy and I would go to it. So not everyone that I was engaged with, but very, very, some people are interested in that. You know what I mean? And also just looking at things from a different perspective. I remember when I was working in the hotel business, this gal that I would call to do massages for guests, she even introduced me, right, to a channeler, you know? So, and I was in my early 20s. So I guess the response is yes, but I wasn't really, you know, dedicated to that necessarily. And even when I moved to Rome, I thought, you know, I've got to understand Catholicism a little bit more. I was, you know, so I was like, let me see a different perspective on Catholicism. And I'm trying to remember the name of the book. It's always escaping me, but where these Jewish doctors from, I think from Brooklyn, where you're from, mm-hmm. started channeling Jesus Christ and looking at Catholicism from a different perspective. So really just the global approach to spirituality, to consciousness, which I've been working a lot with Access Consciousness, and also to religion from, you know, not the sort of structured element of it, but, you know, God, Allah, Buddha, Shiva, the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, what is all that? And how does that affect us? How does that affect our bodies? And when we're really aggravated and really nervous, you know, we think it's about something going on directly in our lives, but sometimes it's the sun and the moon at opposite sides of, you know what I mean? At 180 degrees, or you're, you know, so So yeah, just always open to the energy of things and how you change it when it's not working for you.
Right. And I feel like in my 20s, it sounds like, you know, you get sprinkled in these little things, just like maybe we weren't quite ready to jump fully into the puddle. Cause my cousin's the one who got me on my spiritual journey. And now I was only brought up private Catholic schools my whole life. And I never, you know, my mother couldn't pay me to go to church or anything. And now I read it just on Sundays. I'll read it. Not, you know, I think when you're brought up so close to it, it's kind of like, I want to rebel a little bit. But not even, you know, at being brought up Catholic, you learn to take it literally. And now I take it metaphorically. That's a story about consciousness. And even, you know, I kind of lean more towards the Eastern philosophies, Hinduism. I just bought, so funny you said Shiva, the God destroyer. That's up there on my shelf. So it's interesting. So now how has your relationship with religion changed, and how do you view it today?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, let's say in my teens, you know, all my cousins in Boston, they had been born again. I don't know if they didn't like their first birth, but they were born again Christians, right? And I was always talking about the universe, you know, and it was naming the universe, and we weren't really communicating, you know, in the same way. They were like, that's, you know, something strange. But then I got the energy is the same as God. We're both talking about the same thing. They're talking about God. I'm saying the universe. So if I were to use the words, the first communication language is energy. So we have to reduce it and define it, right, into words. But if we're using a word that someone else is willing to hear and to get, you know, then the communication you have with them flows in a very different way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I started saying instead of talking with them and talking about the universe, I'd say God. And we just had amazing engagement and still do to this day, you know. So I remember when I was, for some reason, if something was going wrong for me, I'd be in the subway in New York, and I would say, Amen, Inshallah, Nam Yohar Engekyo. I would say those three things. I was like, whatever that is that people say in different religions, you know, it must have a vibration that gives them more ease. So let me use all of them to give myself more ease. And this guy walked by me and he said, oh, are you Buddhist? Because I had said Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. I was like, not really, but I don't reject it. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, that's such a beautiful way to look at it. Because that's why I think spirituality is going to end up really, it's changed, right? The last 10 years, now more people talk about it. It's more kind of attached to mental health and clarity. And I think looking at different aspects of it at least gives me so much curiosity, because it's all growth in some sort of way. Now you could get overwhelmed with, I'm reading this, is it Hindu philosophy, is Theravada Buddhism, is, you know, Mahayana Buddhism, there's so many different ways to go. But that's the beautiful part of it. Like I just lean more towards Hinduism in my studies, just the Om. So when I meditate every day, an hour and a half, I'm sitting just listening to the Om noise, and those sounds just bring me into a set of peace and clarity. And I try to tell people, like, whatever you got to do in the morning, like my little cousins who when I say meditation, they're like, oh, what are you, gay or something? Get out of here. Like, I'm like, sit with your thoughts for 10 minutes, whatever you want to call it, just do it. And these things kind of give you an awakening of sorts. Now, it's so funny, in my day job, I got kids coming and say, I can't deal with this anxiety. Could you teach me some meditation? I'm like, I guess it's not really what we do. Let's have a class on it. So it's fun seeing this change in the culture and how we kind of need social sciences and we need the spiritual side to catch up almost with technology and all this craziness going on in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, you know, the way you wake up in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. If you're willing to connect with you, that's always what I'm inviting people to do, to connect with the truth of who you are. And it could be something as simple as just putting your hand on your heart and feeling that beat that your heart is, you know, in the morning. Taking a breath in, a breath out, you can't get breathing wrong if you're still alive, right? You're breathing just fine, mm-hmm. you know? And the way you start your day, the way you see the world, it from your perspective, is your unique approach to communicating with people. But if you start the day with all those thoughts in your mind, and just think of our mind, if we're like at, you know, Einstein level, where we've got 10% of our brain capacity is our mind, right? But look how much of a small part of us that is. The brain is in the head. The mind is 10% of that. And what about the rest of the body? What about your heart? You know what I mean? What about your gut feeling? What about, you know what I mean? Your intuition. So really, One of my books, the Seven Steps book, which is actually a background.
There it is.
The first step is, you know, show me the magic, you know, asking God, Allah, Buddha, whoever you want to ask, looking to see what your unique magic is. And I give this, it's a very, very small book, but the first chapter talking about how I was going to try to have presence. So I was going every morning to the sea, to the ocean at Martha's Vineyard, and going there to meditate. But before I would do that, I'd ride my bicycle to the beach. I'd swim with the senior citizens in the water. They would leave the beach. I'd pull out my, you know, blanket and put out all my books and the different crystals and all that stuff. And I would like start doing meditation. Of course, you don't do meditation. You're a being meditation, you know? So, and, you know, of course, when I went back to New York after that, you know, month of doing that, I wrote in the journal, because that's what you do. And I realized how much presence I was being on my way to the beach, you know, with the birds and the kids playing and riding that bike and swimming in the ocean, the Atlantic, and with the fish and looking at that, and with the lovely, you know, senior citizens. And then I would start trying to do meditation, you know, making sure I was facing the right direction, you know, of the sun, and, you know, breathing in for 8 beats and breathing out. And how much do we think we have to do to be in communication with ourselves, with our bodies, with our spirits and our beings? And how much do we just have to choose to be present, you know? Mm-hmm. And we can be a walking, talking meditation, like we say in Access Consciousness, right. You know? Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes that's all you need. And that's the other great part of this is it could be relatively simple if you make it that way. It's so funny you brought up water. I'm by the water every morning, not Martha's Vineyard, not anything crazy nice, but over here by Caesars Bay, every morning I'll go right when the sun rises. Now it's around 7 a.m. and just be just seeing the water. It just gives me a sense of stillness and calmness and just peace. And instead of people picking up their phones in the morning, this is what I'm trying to get people to stop doing. You go to your phone, you see your email, you're just putting yourself back into this reactive state of being in your emotions. I'm not saying don't be on your phone just for that first hour. If you can calm yourself down, usually the rest of your day is much more calming and enthusiastic. And for me, it's like, I'm up 4 a.m. every morning. I need to meditate with the gods around 4. I love doing it every day for an hour. Then I go to the gym. So your mind, body, your spirit hit everything. And I'm kind of done for the day. How much more selfish do I have to be now? I can give everything else to everybody else after that. So it's cool. So now everybody, just so we know, 7 steps, it's up there. It's going to be linked in the below. I was waiting to bring it up because I was interested. So tell us about where this started. We know what the first step is, bringing the magic, but give me a little more here.
Yeah. Well, I was writing a book, you know, and a publishing company in France asked me to, you know, write this book about, you know, how to use the tools of Access Consciousness in a really easy way. So I wrote my second book with that. But I had started writing this book about communication. And since I got a degree in communication and had been working in communication, I was doing all these studies and stuff like that. And I was like, what is the really easy, simple invitation you can be for people to communicate? Because so many people ask me, you know, you communicate with everyone, Cass. I mean, once this woman said to me, hey, Cass, we just passed a wall and you didn't say hello. And it was in Italian and I didn't speak Italian great that yet. And I was like, oh, was there somebody missed a wall? And I didn't say hello to Mr. Wall. And she was laughing. I was like, where is he? Did I not say hello? She was laughing. She was like, I'm just kidding you, Cass, because you say hello to everyone. You talk to everyone. And that I do. So, you know, I was invited by the founder of Access, actually. He was like, Cass, the way you communicate with people is quite unique. And please write a book about that. And I was like, why should I write a book about it? There's great books about it. He's no, because the way you write it, the way you talk about it is quite different. So what I did was write a little book called 7 Steps to Flawless Communication, and inviting people to know that it always, just like you said, darling, it always starts with you. You have to first connect with yourself, you know, before you can connect with everyone else, because If you don't have an easy path back to you, right, you lose your connection, right, with the world, with the planet. So the steps are first phase connecting, recognizing what's unique and different about you. There's so much that unites us, right? So much more that unites us than separates us. You know, we've got, you know, cells, and we've got molecules in the cells and water and blood and, you know, all that stuff. But what's different about us, sometimes we think is what's wrong about us. You know, we're not being like other people, but that difference is your uniqueness. And it is, if you weren't here on this planet, right, it would be a different world. It would be a different vibration, right? Mm-hmm. So how can you connect to that vibration and actually celebrate it? So that's something that I really invite people to do. And really, the first step is just recognizing that. I mean, I can tell you about 20 things that are amazing and unique about you, but do you actually acknowledge that? And that, so that is the what we do with that first phase, is connecting people to themselves and asking them to talk to their body. You know, you do that through meditation, right? Other people do that through singing, right? Different people do it in different ways, Scott. So there's that talk to your body is about your gut feeling, your intuition, knowing all of the sensorial organisms in the body that actually give you information about something. And if you're not connected with your body, you might think, oh my God, I got a headache. Oh my God, I'm not feeling good. Oh my God, you know, I'm collapsed. Ask your, hey, body, is this something I should choose? Is this something that is going to work for me? Is this someone that's going to be a contribution to my life? Do you want to go to sleep? You know, I mean, just so playing with that and connecting with you. And once you do that, it's a sort of tricky way for people to do that with ease. And there's, once you do that, then you start recognizing, when you're disconnected from you. And that's the second phase, about disconnecting from who you are not, you know, somebody with walls and barriers and resistance and reaction, right? Step three is about lowering your barriers. And people like, you got barriers up, lower them. Yeah, but how do I do that? So we give you some good easy tools in the workshops and classes on that. Easy, fast ways to do that. And then step four of that disconnecting is how, it's called go beyond the veil, you know, because sometimes if you've ever been talking with someone and you're like, why am I not hearing what they're saying? Or why am I not understanding, even though they're speaking in the language I understand? Has that ever shown up for you?
Absolutely. This is my life.
and you're like, excuse me, could you just repeat that for a moment? And they repeat it. And you're like, oh my goodness, if I have to ask them another time what they said. But a lot of times it's because they're not present with you. So the more that you're in a presence with yourself, then it's actually an invitation for them to come and be present with you. So going beyond that veil is like not having to pretend to be someone else, you know what I mean? Or not, you know, having that comfortable distance that not only is from someone else, but it's also with yourself. A lot of times we know, there's something that I'm detached from. We might even know that it's ourselves, but we've been detached for so long, we're not even sure how to get back there. So connecting with you, recognizing when you're disconnected with you, and it gives you a much easier way to reconnect, not only with you, but with other people in a very different way, so that you don't feel judged, you know, you don't feel a lack of self-esteem because of the way someone communicates with you. Everyone communicates in a different way. And most of us are so busy, you know, judging ourselves that we totally don't have time to judge other people. You know what I mean? So the way that they are actually expressing themselves might be, if you're not offended, might be a gem or a jewel that you can actually look at in a different way if you're not resisting it or avoiding it, you know? Mm-hmm. And and just expand, you know, so the fifth step in that reconnect is about engaging with people in a very different way, seeing things from people's perspectives and knowing what it is that they need to hear, just like we were saying, the word God as opposed to the word universe, you know, the way they need to hear what you'd like to communicate with them and what would get them present enough with you to hear you. And sometimes it might just be, hey, I'm sorry if this is not working for you, you know? And the moment you're sorry it's not working for them, they're like, okay, I'll listen to you, you know? Mm-hmm. So really how to engage with people. And once you have, you know, connected with you, recognized when you're disconnected, and then approach people knowing they must have a unique brand of magic too. There must be something different. Even if they're the most boring person you've ever met in your life, how could you possibly be boring with all this stuff going on in the world, right? With all the movement there is in our bodies, right? With the mind that is always moving. They must have a really huge talent in order to reduce all that into something that's boredom, you know? Mm. So when you approach somebody from that perspective, knowing that there must be something unique and different about them, that opens up a space where they can feel comfortable being themselves, you know? Yeah. Does that ever show up for you?
Absolutely. No, and I love everything that's going on here, because there's hints of Buddhism, of letting go and surrendering, but there's also this feeling. And I think for me, surprisingly, and even a lot of, you know, I'd say guys in the Western, you know, the Western world here, it's like a lot of thinking, a lot of doing, a lot of being a man. And like, I've been trying to work on this feeling thing, because it's honestly hard for me, particularly with women, particularly relationships, you know, cause you don't really, I don't get women. What can I say? But you know, so I love that scent, that side of it, just sitting and feeling, cause I think these things are so undervalued in today's world. And like, these are tools that are so useful, but they're like, you can't make money off them. You can't, they're too simple to tell, and people don't want to do it. That's why, you know, I have a Tony Robbins coach, and I love the masculine energy to do and be and get stuff done. But I think equally, you need that creative energy, that yin, that feminine quality. And I think both are equally important. That's what I'm realizing in my life, at least. So.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. I love your, you know, telepathic capacity.
I try.
Yeah, well, no, you're not trying, you're being and doing. You can't try, you know, you can't try it. Well, you can succeed in trying, but if you want to stand up, you don't try to stand up, you just stand up,
just
right?
Do yeah. it. Yeah. No, yeah. And that's what I've been trying to do this year, is like set an intent, but watching the quality of my consciousness, being truly present in every moment. And, you know, some days you'll miss it if you're hungover or this or that, but my life has been like so vibrant. It's just so much. I'm just being here. Cause like, what else is there except me and Cass talking right now? There's nothing. There's not the past. There's not the future. Just now. This is the eternal present moment. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. And even if you're like hungover and you're not resisting that or feeling bad about that, you will actually, when you're engaging with somebody who has that same kind of vibration, you'll actually have a way of communicating with them that worked for you. So that's really about, you know, reconnecting with people and expanding your zone of awareness. Like you said, you know, you're an infinite being in a body with a mind, with a soul, with a, you know, and you happen to be in a male body, but we all have that yin and yang, you know, yes. We all have that. So when you're expanding your zone and being able to see things from women's perspectives, you know what I mean? Then, you know, what the question you might ask them and the lack of, resistance or avoiding them is something maybe that they haven't had in a while. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is great with different religions. It's great with different, you know, cultures, with different languages, with different races. And it's really quite extraordinary. And that allows you to establish true connection. You know, that sixth step is about expanding your zone so that you don't collapse inside physically, but also that you're what you come up with to say to someone happens to be exactly what resonates with them, and so that they can engage with you. And that establishing true connection is about the seventh step, which is connecting with the earth, because this is our home. Just like you were saying, we're here now. We're here together now. And so we are at home together. It's the same home. With our home is planet Earth. So when you are really establishing that true connection, you never feel out of place, right? And you're always engaging with people who have the same home as you do. And it's a very different approach. I have teachers around the world who are teaching also the 7 steps program. I just did something with these 3 doctors, you know, one's a psychiatrist, one's a medical doctor, and one has different clinic and works with different things. And they love the simplicity of communicating with people and inviting their clients and their patients to really connect with themselves, right? Don't go into resistance and detachment from themselves so that they can really make different choices, just like you're doing in your life at the moment. Like, what is it that is going to create more for me? Why am I here on this planet? Why did I choose to be here now? You know, and that helps you enjoy your work, enjoy your relationships, enjoy your working out in the morning, enjoy, you know, seeing the sea, wherever that is, or the ocean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
No, it is. And you're just talking about creating, right? And it seems that you're pretty good at this creating stuff, because all the people I talk to have this vision of like what pulls them forward, right? And that's my question for you is, when did this vision become clear that this is your purpose, your passion? Was it during the concierge? Was it during, you know, your time in Rome? And then secondly, my second question, I've been getting this email saying, Scott, I'm kind of stagnant and I want to do things, but I work this job 9 to 5 and I want to do, you know, we all have these little things. How do I get moving? And my thing is, you have to do something, you have to take action, right? But I'm sure this is an issue that you deal with. So there's two questions there, and I'll let you answer any way you wish, Cass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you know, a lot of times we're doing mundane things, you know what I mean? It might be a job, you know, but if we're willing not only to, you know, pay the rent, you know, or whatever that is, but just to ask some questions, you know, what is it that I can not only receive, you know, a paycheck or whatever that is, but what can I gift to the world? You know what I mean? If I were to leave this planet tomorrow, what would I like for people to remember and know about me? You know, and just asking that question, not looking for an answer immediately, but see what shows up in your life. See what actually entertains you. See what you actually like to do. See what it is that when you are engaged with someone or something, that time is non-linear, that you might forget to eat. Mm-hmm. You might forget to sleep. What is it that makes you laugh? You know what I mean? What is it? Because when you laugh, you know, you are completely detached from all of those structures and forms and ideas, you know, and mental thoughts. You're actually completely connected with you and your body. And it is, it's nurturing. It's nurturing for you. So that, you know, is a suggestion to ask. I love to sing. You know, I didn't choose that as a career, singing career, but I sing all the time. And it was so funny when I started, you know, facilitating, you know, and coaching and doing classes and workshops around the world. And a girlfriend of mine said, oh, do you ever, you know, do you sing in your classes? And I was like, what? Sing in the classes? No, I'm training people. And she was like, oh, I'm just asking because you sing all the time. Like every time we're together, she's a singer, actually. Okay. And so, you know, singing, not having to be a professional singer, but singing. She's like, you sing great. You sing all the time. And I was like, wow. You know, when you ask me, what is it that gave me my, you know, purpose in life, let's say my awareness, I was like, wow, I do love to sing. And how is it that you are working and doing a business or in a relationship and not engaging with something that brings you joy, you know? So I do always sing, and I'm going to sing a song. Not now, I didn't mean now on the call, but yeah. I'm saying I'm going to be, I recorded a song, the name of my second book, Dancing with Riches, but it's an invitation. It's almost like a meditation type of song. An invitation for people to recognize what's the wealth, what are the riches of your life, you know, what that you can engage with, you know, and, you know, recognize that it can be difficult, you know, at times it weighs you down, but you don't have to go through it with, you know, every day with a frown. You know, those are the words for the song. Oh. Take a look at the brighter side, be strong, be ready, be free. Learn from your failures and be all you can be, dancing with riches. There is no better way. Dancing with riches each and every day. Yeah, dancing with riches. Keep your negative thoughts at bay. Dancing with riches is so much more to say. Yeah, so
that I'll share it with you. Hey, please do.
I will share it with you. Right? I'm so excited.
This is happening tomorrow, right?
I'm going to be doing it tomorrow. You like the lipstick?
I love it. I see you get all ready for me. This is great. Are you ready for this tomorrow? Like, is it something you have to prepare for? You just kind of go in the studio and let it go, right?
Well, I am prepared. I've got some people who showed up in my life. A friend of mine who's a musician. He helped with the words and the music that we recorded a few months ago. And I met a film director. She's going to be directing us as we sing the song together. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law, who lives downstairs, is a photographer. So he's going to be the one filming. And I've got a, you know, makeup artist, and we'll see.
That's fun. Now, did this book come out after Seven Steps or before?
No, it came out. Yes, it did come out after. It came out first in French because the French, you know, were pushing me because they're like, there's so much on excess consciousness. We want a woman's book and we want, a book that is easy to. So it's basically about, you know, the journey of my life in different areas. That second book, Dancing with Bitches, about how to relate with yourself, you know, and giving a lot of, it's a how-to book, you know, lots of experiences that I've had and just asking, you know, if you've ever had this experience or this is going on for you, use this tool, this access tool. And so lots of tools for people to use relating to your body. You know, I had the most sexy body. I mean, it's still looking good, baby, but when I never saw it before, you know, at 22, I think my brother sent me a photo of me and my dad. And I was like, I never even saw that body at the beach, right? I was like, I never even saw that body before. So how much of us are we not seeing, you know, if we're not willing to see it from various perspectives, or we're just resisting it, you know, or avoiding seeing ourselves. So it's an invitation for people to really recognize the wealth, the riches of their life. So with yourself, with your body, with other people, relationships, you know, talking about my relationships with different people and how to look at it from a different perspective and not feel wrong about it. And then with money, lots of people have, you know, you have a nice conversation about someone, about creating something, then you get to talking about, okay, money, and the energy changes, the tone changes, you know what I mean? So inviting people to have more ease with that and giving some tools, and then with business, and it's the fifth chapter. And the sixth chapter, which is very small, is about, do you want to live your life with a purpose, or do you want to live your life purposefully? And just like you say, when you wake up in the morning and you're at the sea, looking at the ocean, and then, you know, doing the meditation, and then going and working out, and then, you know, it's living your life purposefully, you know? And so the rest of your day is blessed. I mean, anyone who's running into you the rest of the day, even if they're just walking by you in the street, that space, that energy, that vibe that you are, is a contribution to the people, the animals, the grass. Yep. I'm sure there's some grass saying, please walk on me. Please walk on me, because everyone else is walking on me. They're so tense and dense, and the flowers might be like, oh, let me be shining for him, you know? And that's a gift, you know? That's a gift that you are.
No, thank you. And that's like, I always was doing it to be selfish. Like, oh, I just want to be in my best optimization. But then all of a sudden, oh, there's just something about this kid. And listen, I like how you were saying about this, the you know, really seeking what you want. And I was always looking for love. I always thought I'm not loved. Nobody likes me, blah, 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 blah. And I just said one day when I was going through this process, I said, I'm just going to give it. And this started 5 years ago. And it's like karma. It's like action. It's like being just, it comes back in spades. And now it's like, I need to love me less, everybody. I need to be, it's just funny how the whole thing works. Like, all you got to do is give what you want. And you kind of get it. And it's just funny how it all just comes back around.
Yes. And if you're wanting to love, are you willing to love you?
Yeah.
Are you willing to love you? because it all starts with you. Communication starts with you. And when you are loving you, you're actually being a reflection to people that maybe they will be loving themselves also. And so when you're in a room with people who love themselves, who honor themselves, who adore themselves, you know, then it's great engagement. They're not expecting anything from you. You're not expecting anything from them. And what creation can you have? Yeah, together.
Yes, man. Cass, we will end it there because that was a beautiful, beautiful way to end it. Thank you so, so much. We're going to put all the notes in the bottom to find everything. But anything you want to talk about specifically, where they can find anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can always find stuff on CassThomas.com, but just, you know, what is the area of your life you would like to engage with? You know, it might be your body. It might be losing weight. It might be gaining weight, making muscles. You know, it might be relationships. It might be job. Whatever that is, start there. Take the first step in your life. And, you know, as you keep moving forward on that journey called life, there might be some crossroads that show up. But if you don't start it, right, you can't see those tangents in the journey. And there's no coincidences, you know. So what shows up, it'll just make you laugh. I was even asking about that, and look, it just showed up. See? No coincidences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be honoring to you, and the rest will flow with ease.
Mm. I love that, Cass. And CassThomas.com. That'll be in the notes below. That's it. People watching on YouTube, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Leave that subscribe, like, all that good stuff. If you're listening, just you know, subscribe. Tell one of your friends about it. That's it, man. Cass, this was so much fun. Thank you. And I think we're going to do this again because I really enjoyed talking to you.
Me too. And come to Rome. All roads lead.
I will. Darling. I'm coming. You got that right.
Got a lovely bed and breakfast and a garden for you.
Oh, man.
You can meditate in the garden. I'll bring you some people.
Oh,
a lot beautiful. Americans here.
Yeah, I'm coming to Europe in June. I kind of do like an intuitive trip. For a month I go away. Last year was Hawaii. I spent the month in Hawaii. This year it's going to be I can't tell you what's happening. Well, I'll say it cuz they're not going to listen. My cousin's proposing in Italy. So that's happening in June, and then I'm going to go up to Switzerland, so maybe we'll pop in between there. So
awesome. I've got some contacts here for you about that.
Awesome. Well, of course, in the effect community, thank you guys so much. That's it. As always, stay safe, stay positive, stay blessed. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.